Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. Now again, like we have done in the last week and a half or so, we're going to compare the four Gospels. And I realize for a radio broadcast, that can be a little difficult. But one of the reasons we want to do this is because we're trying to be sure that you understand completely how the Gospels fit together concerning the events around Jesus' crucifixion, because herein lies more of the difficult passages in the Gospels than probably any other place. For instance, today in this particular lesson, we're going to find in John's Gospel that Jesus Christ was wearing a purple robe. And in Matthew's Gospel, we're going to find out that he was wearing a scarlet robe. And the question is, how do you reconcile that? Luke only attributes maybe six verses to this whole episode. John attributes 16 verses to this episode. And so the question is, how do you put it all together? And quite frankly, when you map these things out side by side in a parallel, it almost looks like the way a ball bounces on a pinball machine. You go all over the place between the Gospels as you read their supplemental accounts. Some give more detail and some less. So let's read the passages today concerning the scourging and delivering of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews to be crucified and to the soldiers to be crucified. And also we'll see and hear the actual release of Barabbas. Now we begin this study today by comparing Luke's Gospel with Matthew, Mark, and John. And then we'll quickly head over to John's Gospel and we'll pick up our whole passage today and then we'll finish up there. Now, one of the things to keep in mind is that we will be dealing with this scourging by Pilate in Luke chapter 23, verse 20. Luke 23, 20. That's where we begin there. In Mark, we'll be beginning in Mark chapter 15, verse 12. In Matthew, we will be in Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. And in John, we begin with John chapter 19, verse 1. So those are the places where we'll be. Okay, now this is where it starts. In Luke chapter 23, verse 20, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. I think it's very important for us to remember that Pilate tried, albeit he didn't do a very good job of it. Paul was willing to release Jesus Christ. He did not want him to be crucified. He was willing to release Jesus, and so he spake again to them. But what happened is that Pilate did not go ahead and judge according to his governorship. He judged in some way trying to appease the Jews, trying to accommodate them. And you'll find that in several places in the Bible. I think when Felix had Jesus Christ, the Bible doesn't say appease the Jews, but he wanted to please them, kept Jesus bound. I mean, not Jesus, but Paul bound. And that's because these rulers sometimes are concerned about the popularity they have with their constituents. And in this case, it cost Jesus' life. Of course, that was something that God had already arranged, and so it was going to work out like that anyway. But we certainly see the nature of Pilate in this thing. Willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. Now, what did he say? Well, Matthew and Mark both show us what he said. Matthew 27, verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Mark said, Pilate answered and said unto them, what will ye then I should do unto him whom you call King of the Jews? And they cried, crucify him. Now you see, when you read these accounts, You see, there's a discourse going on. At one time when he asked them, what will you that I do unto Jesus, which is called Christ, he also asked them, what will you that I do unto him whom you call King of the Jews? So he covered it both ways. What do you want me to do to Jesus, which is called Christ? Crucify him. Well, what do you want me to do unto him whom you call King of the Jews? Crucify him. He asked them both ways. They cried out, crucify him. Luke says they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. It's almost like a chant or a cheer coming from the big mob that's gathered down below or outside. Luke goes on to say in Luke 23:22, he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? What do you want me to do this for? He hadn't done anything wrong. Mark says, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. You know, if you don't want to be manipulated, don't answer the question. The question is, why, what evil hath he done? The answer is, well, he hadn't done any evil at all. But rather than be manipulated by giving an answer to reveal their envy and their wickedness and their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ, they simply continue to cry out exceedingly, crucify him, crucify him. You know, that's the way things go whenever you try to find somebody trying to get something done. They just resort to the mob scene. And that's what they did in Jesus' case. Matthew goes on to say, the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? They cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. They had one objective, and that is to get Christ on the cross. And that's all they wanted. And they didn't want to listen to reason. They didn't want to have a fair trial. They didn't want to answer the question, why, what evil hath he done? They didn't care that he was King of the Jews. They didn't care that he was Jesus, which is called Christ. They wanted one thing and one thing only, and that is they wanted Jesus Christ to be crucified. And eventually that's what they got. Now we go back to Luke's gospel in Luke 23:22 in the second half of the verse. After they holler again, crucify him, Pilate said, I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And as soon as he said that, they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. So if Pilate were trying to make the determination based upon his ability to convince the crowd to let him go, Pilate did a terrible job. Because the chief priests and the people prevailed over Pilate's voice that he would chastise him and let him go. And so what did Pilate do? Did he let him go? Of course not. You have to go to Matthew to find out what he did. In Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, that's a riot, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And here comes the terrible, terrible thing that the crowd said in verse 25 of Matthew 27. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now realize that today, if you hear somebody that still is a Jew, that practices their Jewish religion, talk about this episode, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard this on three different occasions. I don't say that it's a universal thing, but I've heard it on three different occasions. And it may be more so if I were to talk to more Jews and ask them specifically. But they would say, we are not responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they wouldn't call him the Lord, but we're not responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. And I understand that. I understand the statement. They're not responsible for that any more than people today are responsible for slavery of a century and a half ago. Because nobody here today had anything to do with it. Just like nobody here today that's a Jew had anything to do with this episode. I understand that completely. However, if the statement is, we had nothing to do with his crucifixion, is to say that the Jewish people had nothing to do with it at any time in history, or that there was not a group of people that said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, that wouldn't be right at all, because Pilate, and we're going to see this in John's gospel today, Pilate would have had no cause of action against Jesus Christ for anything if the Jews, the chief priests, the elders, the rulers of the people, and the mob had not delivered Jesus Christ to Pilate and then hollered over and over and over again, "Crucify him." The reason we're taking such pains to go through all these Gospels is there is a continual discourse between Pilate and the crowd. He's willing to release him. He asks him one question: "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Let him be crucified." All right, I'm going to ask you another question: "What will you then that I do unto him whom you call King of the Jews?" They said, "Crucify him." He said, "Why, what evil have they done? Has he done?" They said again, "Crucify him." He said, "I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." They hollered again, "Crucify him." You see, it's not just one time that they holler it. It's back and forth between Pilate and the chief priest and the crowd. And eventually, after numerous occasions of trying to release the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief priest prevailed. And it's at that time then that Pilate washes his hands and said, "I'm innocent." Well, you're going to see in John's gospel, he's not totally innocent. He proclaimed his innocence, but he's not. And the people hollered, "His blood be on us and on our children." That was a terrible thing to holler, because over and over again, there have been occasions where the people have suffered as a result of this curse right here. And Titus came in 70 A.D. and destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem and ran them out of the country. And they've been persecuted in every country where they've gone, nearly. And this recent occasion with Hitler and the Holocaust is just further testimony of a continual reaping of what was sown in Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. It's a terrible, terrible thing. All right, now we continue on. We go back to Luke. After he washed his hands and after the people said, "His blood be on us and on our children," then Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And in verse 25, he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. He released Barabbas to them. After all those attempts to get Jesus Christ freed up, he went ahead and released Barabbas. Mark 15:15, Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them. Matthew, then released Barabbas unto them. And then both, or all three of these Gospels really, take a break right here. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified, basically is what they all three say. But let me show you, when we go over here to John's Gospel and the rest of Matthew and Mark's Gospel, he did release Jesus Christ to be crucified. He delivered him to be crucified after he scourged him, but there are several things that take place before he actually goes to his crucifixion. For instance, in Matthew 27:27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus. So when he delivered him to be crucified, what happened? He didn't go immediately to Calvary. He first of all went to the soldiers of the governor. But we have to go up to John to see the first thing that happened. In John chapter 19, verse 1, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. All right? So the scourging of Jesus Christ and then what happens with the soldiers of the governor are kind of two different things here. While Jesus Christ is with Pilate, he is scourged. And then, the soldiers of the governor, according to Matthew 27:27, took Jesus into the common hall. You see where Pilate was, he was in the judgment hall. So the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, not just that one or two that scourged him. Mark says the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. That's the common hall. It's called Praetorium. And they call together the whole band, so now all these other soldiers come in, while before Pilate there were just a few soldiers. They call together the whole band. All right, the first thing they do in Matthew 27:28 is they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Very important. In Mark 15:17, and in our text today, John 19:2, the Bible says they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. John 19:2, the soldiers platted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. But Matthew says they put on him a scarlet robe, and then says when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand to make it look like a scepter, and they bowed the knee before him, mocked him, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, what's this deal? Was it scarlet or was it purple? Well, when you read some guys, they say, well, the scarlet robe was a purple robe. I'm not sure about that. From looking at it carefully and considering what the Bible said, I believe that they put on him both a scarlet robe and a purple robe. When Jesus Christ goes out before the people in John 19:5, he's wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. So this scarlet robe looks like something that is put underneath the purple robe, either so that the purple robe covers it and you can't see the scarlet robe, or the purple robe goes on like a coat so that the scarlet robe can be seen in a part, and that, you know, and then the whole rest of it is the purple robe, like an overgarment. Now, I'll tell you why I believe it's that way. The Bible definitely knows the difference between scarlet and purple. If the Bible meant to say a purple robe in Matthew, he would have said a purple robe, because Mark and John both call it a purple robe. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you look in Exodus chapter 25 as an example, the curtains of the tabernacle are purple and scarlet. The Bible certainly knows the difference between the two. Purple is the color that is between red and blue. Scarlet, on the other hand, is blood red, and if it does have a different taint, it will be tainted toward ruby, or it will be tainted toward an orange-yellow tint. In other words, it'll go the other way on the color wheel. Purple is formed by a combination of red and blue, and when red dominates, it's called violet, not scarlet. Scarlet is just pure, it's a blood red. So it looks like there are actually two robes. Now, that shouldn't be surprising, because when the priest wears his garments in Exodus chapter 28, verse 6, he wears a robe and over that a coat, and the colors that he wears are blue and purple and scarlet. The two different colors are there. Now, purple is a royal apparel. It's found on kings in Judges chapter 8, verse 26. And when Mordecai was arrayed in the royal apparel of Ahasuerus in Esther chapter 8, verse 15, he was wearing purple. So purple would be the color they'd put on him for royalty. That, you know, they're going to bow the knee and mock him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." That's the purple color there. Scarlet was worn by the priests, and they had it in their coat. In Daniel chapter 5, when Belshazzar calls Daniel in to interpret the handwriting on the wall, he said, "If you can interpret it correctly, I will put on you scarlet and a golden chain, and I will make you the third ruler in the country." In Nahum chapter 2, verse 3, the valiant men wear scarlet. So it looks, so it's a combination thing here then. The first thing they do in Matthew is they stripped him so he doesn't have any of his clothes on, and they put on him the scarlet robe, and then they put on him the purple robe when they platted the crown of thorns and gave him the reed like a scepter and began to mock him and holler, "Hail, King of the Jews." In John 19:3, "Hail, King of the Jews," they smote him with their hands. In Matthew, they bowed the knee before him and mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And in Mark 15, they saluted him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," like they threw up the hand, like they said, used to say, "Heil Hitler," and they put that hand up there like that. They salute him, they bow the knee, they mock him, they smite him with their hands. In Matthew and Mark, in those Gospels, they spit on him. They smote him on the head with the reed. They took it out of his hand when it looked like a scepter after mocking him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smacked him on the head and pierced his head with the crown of thorns, beat that crown of thorns into his head, and spit on him, and bowed their knees and worshipped him. What a mockery, man. What a mockery. He is. Let me tell you something. When the Bible says Jesus Christ comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. After the way they mocked him here, he's the Son of God. After the way they mocked him here, he's the King of the Jews. After the way they mocked him here, he is Jesus, which is called Christ. They spit on him. They hit him in the face with their hands. They'd scourged him. They beat in the crown of thorns with a reed. When he comes back, no doubt he'll come back in vengeance after this episode. And this is what they delivered him to be done. Now, after they beat him in the head with the reed, spit on him, smite him in the face, mock him, worship him, then they take him out. They give him to Pilate. In John 19:4, Pilate, therefore, went forth again. After all this time, one more shot. He went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came so he makes the announcement, here comes Jesus. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto him, Behold the man. You know, I wish every citizen of this world could behold the man, Jesus Christ, wearing that purple robe and bleeding from the scourging and the beating and the face all beat. He was unrecognizable, according to Isaiah. We hid, as it were, our face from him. They couldn't even recognize who he was. Behold the man. You know, I wish every citizen of the world could behold Jesus Christ in that case. You know why? Because he took all of this, he bore in his own body our sins on the tree. All this was done for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for your enemies. He did that for your friends. He did that for your spouse. He did that for your children. He did that for your parents. He did that for your cousins. He did that for every soul in the world. I wish they could get a good look at him right there, because if you could see him in this case and you see that he did that for you and for me, it might tenderize your heart or the heart of a hard-hearted sinner just enough to say, you know, bless God, if he did that for me and he didn't deserve that, I ought to get saved. Behold the man. He is a man. People say Christianity is a crutch. They're a fool. Christianity is no crutch. Jesus Christ calls us to suffer in like manner as we have him for an example. Crutch my foot. They're no crutch when the Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute you and despitefully use you. That's not a crutch. That's the salvation of a man. That's a man's religion, not a woman's religion. I say that. I mean this. I'm talking about men that act like fairies. Women came with Jesus Christ all the way from Galilee and ministered to him as he was going to the cross. This is for men. This is for real women, not fairies. You know what I'm talking about? This isn't a passive type of religion. This is a courageous Christianity. Behold the man. John 19:6, when the chief priest therefore and officer saw him, what'd they do? They cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Pilate by this time must have been ashamed at what had happened to Jesus Christ. The Jews answered him, We have a law. And by our law, he ought to die. No, by your law, Jew, he ought to live. He was innocent. By our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. No, he didn't make himself the Son of God. He is the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Pilate was fearful. That was one of his big problems. John 19:9, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. See, things far off and long now, he's going to the cross. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. This thing is of God's design. From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. Barabbas is already gone. He's already played that pawn. Pilate thought any way he could to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he knew he was the Christ. Now he knew he was the King of the Jews. Now he knew he was the Son of God. And he tried to figure out some way to make it work out. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So they're saying Caesar is a greater king than Jesus Christ. What fools they were that day. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, well, he was in a trap. He's a politician. He's not a statesman. He's a politician. They're going to tattletale on me. I'm going to lose my job. Pilate therefore heard that saying. He brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. In about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. I love it. Behold the man, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests said, we have no king but Caesar. Boy, what a death knell that was. It wasn't 40 years later when Titus came in and destroyed that city completely. What a terrible, terrible tragedy. Well, our lesson closes today in John 19:16. Then delivered he him therefore to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Bible says, after that they'd mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. They took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him away out to crucify him. Had to take that coat off of him, that robe off of him. Why? Because they parted his garments at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which was prophesied in Psalm 22. Everything working out exactly according to God's plan. What a terrible tragedy it was for the people that day. Thank God Jesus died for us that we might be saved. You don't take this one lightly. Never take it lightly.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.